Well, good morning and happy feast, Gatlinburg. You don't know which one to say, good morning or happy feast. 62 years ago, my mom took me to church on the Sabbath, and she took me to the feast, my very first Feast of Tabernacles in Squaw Valley, California. That's a long time ago for me. I'm sure there's some that may have been gone longer. But it was kind of shocking to me a couple of years ago in Branson when they said, how many of you have kept 60 or more feasts? And I had to think, am I really that old? I am here in Gatlinburg with my two sons, and three of my four grandchildren. Our oldest grandson got to spend the feast in Branson with his other grandparents, so he's not with us here, but we do have three of our grandchildren, a 14 and 15 year old granddaughter, and then two little babies, a year and 2 years old. So we are certainly enjoying our condo. It's a very busy place. But my grandchildren represent a fifth generation of my family who have attended and been in the Church of God. Five generations. Now, I'm sure that before that there were others that were in Churches of God or wherever they may have been, because as we know, the church has never failed. It's always been around. But you and I, as parents and grandparents of young people, have a huge responsibility. We have a huge responsibility for us, especially as this world gets worse and worse and worse. We must continually pay attention to and make sure that our children and our grandchildren have the vision that we've heard about this entire feast, that they know where we're going, they know why we are here. And the only way that they can learn that is by the parents and the grandparents teaching them. And as we know, as it says in Deuteronomy, teach them when they wake up, teach them when they lie down, and teach them when you're riding around in your car. Teach them at all times. When they come home from school, they must be deprogrammed from everything they learned at school that day almost. It's incredible, the world that we live in and the things that we must do. But our children must grow up in this world today, and they look to us to give them the vision that we are here to understand and to learn. In 2007, there was a study done in the United States of young adults, and they were trying to find out why so many young people leave the Christian churches. Why do children, when they grow up and come of age, just lose interest in church, lose interest in religion of all kinds? Well, one of the reasons that they found was, and the primary reason was, that the church seemed irrelevant to them in their lives. They just didn't know why they were there at church, what it was for, what it was all about. And they saw their families and other members of the church, their congregation, were pretty hypocritical. In other words, they didn't practice living all the time as they showed at church. What about us? This is very sobering news. You see, because in other words, these young people see us all the time. Our children see us, and they see how we are and how we act around people in the congregation, and how we act when we're around church people, and how we act when we're around the pastor or the elders in the church. And then they see how we act when we're driving the car down I-35 in Texas, which, by the way, is always under construction. And people don't care how fast you drive or how slow you drive. The speed limit means nothing. But they see how you act, and it looks hypocritical to them sometimes. Parents, you and I have been given, and grandparents, and I'm sure there's some great grandparents in here, we all have the responsibility to help our children to come to understand why they need to do what we need to do every day. We need to help our children navigate in this world and what it means to them and in their lives. Why are we in this world today? Well, we are here to learn God's way of life. We are here to live God's way of life. We are here as representatives of His kingdom on this earth. So the first thing that we as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents must do is help our children to see that our church represents God and Jesus Christ. and that we are learning to live as they live and as they teach us to live. We are learning to that way, and we must make it relevant and meaningful in their lives. We must do these things so that they can see the vision. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to go through these scriptures fairly quickly, but you go back and study them yourselves later on and understand. And these are very foundational scriptures of why we are in this church and what we are doing. Ephesians 4, verse 11. For he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, key in on that word teachers. That's everybody. Everybody, as you set your example, as you teach your children, as we teach everyone in this family of ours, we are teachers. So we are a part of this organization. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Do we look at our children as becoming future saints as they become knowledgeable in the Word of God and they eventually counsel to be baptized and have hands laid on them and receive God's Spirit? And now they are with us as saints. They are being called by God now to become that. And it is our job as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and family, extended family, to help them to see that and get that vision in their minds and understand that. We're to do this till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Do we set that example for our children each and every day? Do we talk to them about it? Do we teach them about why they are here? Verse 14, that we should no longer be children. We're teaching them to grow up just as we need, as we need to grow up and become more like Jesus Christ. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth. There is only one truth to teach our children. And it will help them see that vision, and they will not be confused if they understand the truth. And we find that truth in the Bible. But how do we teach it to them? In love. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, including our young people, the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. One of the most wonderful things I see is we have some young folks in our church in San Antonio that are there every Sabbath, and their parents are giving them little jobs to do to help other people, especially the senior citizens and things like that. It is so pleasurable to watch them do that and do it with a smile on their face. Not as if they're being forced to do it, but they do it because they want to and because their parents have taught them that that's the way they should be. Doing all of this causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In that love that we've been hearing about here all week. So including our children, number one, in the church and helping them to understand that the church of God represents God and Jesus Christ. And it must be relevant and very meaningful to them as well. The second thing is the church and its message can answer all of their questions. If they have questions in life and they need them answered, refer them to the Bible. Refer them to what the church teaches, because that's what's important. Let's go to Acts 2. Thank you. Maybe somebody drank it, but I hope they didn't have germs. I've got to wet my whistle here. The church and its message do answer most important questions of life. Acts 2. Again, the basic principle that our church is based on, the basic thing that every child, as they grow up, must learn, that they eventually must come to this point. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said, 'Repent, and let every one of you who be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off.'" Did you get that? It's to you and your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And as I said, He is calling our children today. It's up to us to help Him and assist Him bring those children to Him and to present them to Him when it is time. So that we do everything that we can, and obviously sometimes it just doesn't work. They don't get the calling. It still comes down to their choice. But we must do everything in our power, teaching them, as it says in Deuteronomy, and as we've already hinted to, all the time. There's never a time when we shouldn't be teaching them. And going on down to verse 46 and verse 47, it says, this talking about the church at that time, it says, "So continuing daily in one accord, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." It's wonderful in some church areas we have people close enough that we're able to get together on a regular basis. If we can't do that on the week times, during the week, we do it on the Sabbath when everybody comes together anyway. And we let those children interact with other people in the church so they can develop those social skills, and especially social skills around church brethren, which is much needed for them, just as each and every one of us, as we go to work each week and we begin to get hungrier and hungrier for that Sabbath day to come so that we can be rejuvenated spiritually. Our children need that as well. In verse 47 of Acts 2, "Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now I'm applying this to our children especially. What an awesome resource we have with those children coming to church every day. And as we learn to live together in peace and go house to house and share meals and have time together with our brethren, we can grow in the church and add people daily. And some of those people are going to be our children. We also need to make sure our children understand that the church is a source of comfort and encouragement through its preaching of the gospel of peace. Acts 9:31, the time when the church in early church was at peace for a time. It was obviously there were people attacking it all the time, but this talks about a time when the church was at peace. In verse 31 of Acts 9, it says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they multiplied." Our church needs to have peace. We need to go to God the Father and ask Him every day to put that peace in us, to help us have peace so that we can get along with one another. We can be in unity and we can have favor in God's eyes so that He will give us the peace and He will multiply the church. So let's get very specific. What can you and I do? Well, here's just three quick things that we need to start with. First of all, you and I as adults must have that vision in our minds. We must know the purpose of life first if we're going to teach it to our children. It must be clear in our mind why we are here. We must make sure that we know why we are here. Do I have the vision that's been given to us here at this feast? Do you put yourself in that picture as it's painted for us here at the feast? Do you see yourself there? Well, you must. If you're going to give your children the vision of the future, you must first have that vision. So while you're here, make sure you're getting everything you can and take it home with you and study it and learn it and get that vision firmly planted in your mind so that you can take it to your children. Secondly, what are your children learning from you, as we talked about earlier? Do they see one person at church and see another person at home or in the car? Is your value system based on what you learn from God? Or is it based on the way you grew up? Are you setting a good example for your children to see? Do you live, as I said, one way at church and one way at home? You can't have it both ways. You've got to pick. You've got to choose. You've got to live God's way all the time. 100%. If our children see a double standard, it's going to weaken the vision that we are trying to give them. We must maintain positive feedback for our children. We must not always just focus on the wrong things that they do and just pick on them about it and beat them up about it all the time. Yes, we need to make corrections at times, but do you also give them encouragement when they do something well? In fact, do you give them more encouragement for doing something well than you do criticism for doing something bad? Do you constantly nitpick and nag your children? Are you negative or are you positive in the way that you raise your children? It's something that we need to really think about, and it's equally important to notice, very much more important to notice the positive things they do, especially if you've been working on teaching them something and then you see them do it on their own. Make a big deal about that. I am so proud that you understood what I was trying to teach you, and you did it. They need to know this, and they need to understand this. If we help them and create a vision of who they are and what they can become, experiencing success by employing the right values in their life, then their future can be bright indeed. Hopefully, your children, your family, and all of us are enjoying the foretaste that we have here at this Feast of Tabernacles in Gatlinburg. I've spoken with some friends around the country, and feast sites seem to be doing very well everywhere. The messages are inspiring, just as they are here. Looking forward to finishing the feast here with everyone here, but also looking forward to getting back and fellowshipping and talking about what we all learned together after the feast. So I hope we're all having a wonderful, wonderful foretaste of that future. It's a small thing compared to what we are headed to, and we must have that vision. We need to help make sure our children understand that being a part of the Church of God and staying with the Church of God will help God's family grow. This vision must be within our kids. We must give it to them. We must never let up. We must always show them the picture, and no matter what we go through, this vision must be within our kids, and it must be bright enough to protect them from the darkness of this world. We must never forget the responsibility that each and every one of us has to teach our children and to give them that vision, that they are to become a member of the family of God, just as each and every one of us are. So let's make sure that our children catch the vision.